Welcome to the podcast, The Caring Scientist, Mission Sustainable. This is the podcast where we discuss sustainability in science and we give you hands-on tips on how you can reduce the environmental impact of your lab work.
Welcome to our podcast. My name is Adriana.
And I'm Nicoline.
More and more scientists actually want to become active and promote sustainability in science, but are often not quite sure how to start, since many institutions and countries actually still lack green lab groups and networks. So in order to get some insights about starting and organizing a national green lab network, we have interviewed in this episode Hannah Johnson from Green Labs Netherlands. Welcome, Hannah. It's great to have you on the podcast. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Hannah Johnson and I'm currently based in the Netherlands. And I guess I'm here today to talk about Green Labs Netherlands, which is a national network that we set up regarding sustainability in the labs. So where I actually work, I work at the Princess Maxima Centre in Utrecht, which is a children's cancer hospital. And I work there as a technician and lab manager. And yeah, I started getting involved in sustainability through my work that I do there.
And you're saying you started becoming interested during your work. What do you have any specific memories of what sort of started the whole thing for you caring about green labs and how you do your work?
Well, I guess I've always been very sustainably motivated in my home life and, you know, try to recycle and do these things and switch the lights off and just the things that you do in your general life. But it's always been, I guess, a large part of my personal life. And yeah, at work, it was never part of the conversation really. But then I think it was at the beginning of 2020, actually, that somebody just started sending around some articles regarding plastic waste usage in labs and things like this. And just a couple of myself and my colleagues started talking about it. And it just kind of became part of our conversation about the fact that it is a bit of a paradox how we're trying to be so sustainable in our home lives and not being so sustainable at work. And it wasn't really something I thought about before. But then as soon as you start thinking about it, you realize, oh my goodness, actually, this is really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't unsee it once you've seen that gap.
Exactly, that's exactly it, yeah.
So you already mentioned the Green Labs Netherlands. Maybe you can explain just shortly what is Green Labs Netherlands, why are you there, and what was the reason for starting this national network for Green Labs?
Yeah, so Green Labs Netherlands, so we're currently operating as a national network or kind of national organization for the Netherlands focused on promoting sustainability in the lab. We are built up of a few scientists from different institutions around the Netherlands. We're all just trying to promote ideas around sustainability in labs to our own colleagues, but also trying to build a network for colleagues across the Netherlands to connect and share ideas and have a space to talk about these things and learn about these things. We're trying to provide resources that we're also learning from the rest of the sustainable science network across Europe and also the world, of course. And also we're trying to build projects as well. So to actually look for funding and to actually set up projects to do something as well, where we can either be doing some research into some of the questions around sustainability in science or just trying to build projects that actually get some actions taken regarding sustainability in science.
Very nice. And you're very newly started, right? It's very green in several ways kind of network.
We kind of started up around maybe the end of April or so in 2021. But yeah, at the beginning of 2021, as I was really starting to get involved and interested in sustainability at work, so in the labs and in the science that we do, I just started to reach out to other people in the community, even like yourself. I think I met you at the beginning of 2021 as well, just to kind of learn about what you were doing and what other people are doing. And through these networks, I kind of spoke to a few people, and I think one of the main people I spoke to was actually Martin Farley from LEAF and LEAN in the UK, and he already had some connections in the Netherlands, and it was myself and a colleague that I work very closely with. We just were both interested and started talking to a few people, and he put me in touch with a couple of people he had already been in contact with regarding LEAF or just from other contacts he had that he knew were in the Netherlands and also interested. And we just started emailing and then we started meeting online. And it was kind of this phase of getting getting used to meeting online, but actually realizing the amazing benefits of it because you were able to suddenly broaden your network and become regular contacts and friends with people that, you know, live on the other side of the world or the other side of the country. And we started just meeting and discussing our ideas about sustainability and what we wanted to do. We talked to the guys from Green Labs Austria, for example, and looked a little bit to see how they'd set up their network. And we just thought, well, there's nothing like that in the Netherlands, so why don't we start it up? We all have ideas about what we would like to do in our own institutes. And the best way to do that is to give each other support and to share resources and experiences. So we thought about starting Green Labs Netherlands to kind of start building that community for ourselves and then to, I guess, open that up to the rest of the Dutch scientific community.
That's super nice. I think that, I mean, many reasons, right? First of all, because I think very often people feel like they're very alone.
Indeed.
And it's very motivating to know others are with you, others are struggling with the same things or aspiring to be doing their work more green. So I think just the support in a network like that is really important. But you also mentioned just sharing resources and, for example, driving projects together with people in the network. I mean, those are really, I think that's really awesome that you do those things.
That was exactly it. I mean, I was so amazed when I started looking into this kind of sustainable science community at how big of a community it was and just all the meetings I was having with different people just to see what they're up to and to think about how I can get involved. I just left every meeting feeling so inspired. And when I got in touch with the other people that are now the co-founders of Green Labs Netherlands, yeah, we just had some really nice couple of meetings and we all just wanted to do something and start something. And we decided to have our launch in June of 2021, where we kind of opened up a Twitter account and put a few things on our website and just kind of opened ourselves up to the community to say, hey, these are the people we are. This is what we would like to start in terms of Green Labs Netherlands. And does anybody else want to join or does anybody else want to follow us? And we just kind of started rolling from there, which is really nice.
Well done.
Thanks. It's been very fast, I have to say, in terms of our progression, but it's really nice. It's crazy indeed to think it's been less than a year that we started up and we're getting invited to talks and, you know, you suddenly become the professional on sustainability in science and you're like, no, I've only been doing this a few months. It's just through my own personal research. But it's how nice the community is that everyone is so willing to share resources and so willing to give advice and tips and join together that it actually makes it quite easy and everyone is so interested in the topic as well.
I can only agree. I was also, when I started looking into the whole sustainability and science field, kind of, I was so positively surprised how friendly and how nice people are. Like, they really share everything they know, and that's very contrastful to science, where in principle we share a lot of things, like we share data, we share knowledge, all of these things, but we keep our cards so close to ourselves until we publish, and still after publishing, all the things that didn't make it to the paper you will never share with others, right?
No, that's exactly it.
And that was just so different when you then look at like the meta level of science. If you look at sustainability in science, people are more than happy to share whatever they have.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's exactly it. It's been such an open and welcoming community. I also found it pleasantly surprising. And I think it's what motivated me so much to start getting so involved and to progress in the way that we have, because it was so easy to get involved. And it was so easy to be a contact point for people, even after only getting being involved for a couple of months, because I had all these resources from other places to share.
Very nice. How many people have sort of signed up to the network yet, if you have like an overview of that?
We're not in the phase yet where we're signing people up, and we are just holding regular community meetings that have been formed around different topics. And we've actually been quite open with sharing these community meetings and for anybody to come, and not just people from the Netherlands. So in terms of those that are working with Green Labs Netherlands, we're now 7 members. And we're just in the phase actually at the moment to look at professionalizing ourselves. So we're going to try and actually become a foundation so that we can have a bank account to receive funding, but just also have a bit more of an official status of the way we're doing things. And in that, we're just sorting out our organization a little bit in terms of, you know, having a board. It's very much democratic the way that we try to run ourselves, and that everybody has an equal say and we share tasks between us. So we're kind of still getting organized in that way. And so far the communication we've had is very project based. So for example, the LEAF project, which I can talk a little bit about, but also a couple of other projects we're starting to look up, and also the Shore Symposium, the Sustainable Research Symposium, which of course you guys did last year, which we've taken over to do this year. This has become one of our big projects in organizing this for 2022. But at the moment, it's been very one-on-one basis, people contacting us for information, inviting us for talks, and then just being very open with our tweets and our website to share resources and share information.
Very nice. I mean, you also have to start somewhere, right? And first of all, it was also about testing the ground in the sense that, is there an interest in what we're providing here, this kind of service? And it seems like there really is. Also, I have also attended some of your webinars, right? That I think it's nice that you don't have to sign up to be a member of Green Labs Netherlands to join you for these events, because I think, at least I would not have been able to because I'm not in the Netherlands, right? But that is very open in that sense. Of course, there's also extra bonuses from actually being, you know, you have the names of all members because, for example, they can contact each other directly between them. But I mean, things can develop, right? You'll see what makes sense for you.
No, that's exactly it. And we were quite clear that with the community meetings, as much as they're focused around sustainable science in the Netherlands, that shouldn't stop people from other countries or from different scientific communities coming to these. And, you know, and also we've had people from public research organizations, we've had people from foundations that are kind of maybe have some fingers dipped into sustainability. We've had people from companies joining these things. And I think it's quite valuable keeping these meetings open, because you never know who you're going to inspire, you never know who is going to attend and what they would find valuable from it. And indeed, like we said, once we see the need, which we do think there will be in the future, to build more of a kind of closed community or a space where people can contact directly or have conversations, this is something we're going to look to do in the next year, but it just wasn't our focus for the time being.
And first of all, I think it's also very much about awareness, right? It's not that you have to make people sign up to all kinds of things or having newsletters, but just a lot of people working in labs don't realize that there's an option of doing your lab work in a different way, or there's actually like a whole community or movement around it. And just starting there is like, that's super, super important as well, without having all the nitty gritty details in place from the beginning.
No, that's exactly it. And I mean, we did our first community meeting and we kind of asked the community, what do you want from us? Like, if we build this network, what would be valuable? And one of the things that came out is a lot of people said, oh, quarterly meetings that, you know, have focused topics. And so we've done two more of these now. We had one in November that was based on just looking and seeing what other people are doing around the Netherlands, because already from some of these meetings, we were connecting with people that are just doing things on their own in their institutes. And it was really interesting, and they were giving us ideas, and they're going to be able to provide resources to us. And that's exactly what we wanted to do, was to just start connecting with people ourselves that we can then in the future connect people with, or, you know, encourage them to pass their resources to us, so that when people come to us with a question, we can say, oh, I actually know this person in this institute that's doing this. And that was exactly it. And so, yeah, it's kind of where we started. And I think now we're at the point where we're building up our resources and our network to a point where we can potentially start providing information in a newsletter. So that's something we're going to look to do later this year.
Now, let's go back to some of these projects that you mentioned. Maybe you can tell a little bit about shortly what are the projects, and then if you want to go into depth with some of them, what they are about.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess, as I said, when we were starting up and trying to figure out what we wanted to do, one of the first things that we learned about the community was through the Shore Symposium that you guys organized. And so this was one of the first projects that we actually took on. And it was one of the first things we did at our community meeting, is to put the call out for anyone that would like to come on board and help us organize this. The team that is organizing the Shore Symposium, we have a couple of members from the core group, but we also have a lot of other extra volunteers that have just come on just to help organize this event.
We're going to put a link in the show notes so people can find the website.
Yeah, indeed. The date and everything has just gone up on the website. That will happen, I guess I can already say, on the 19th of May in 2022. But I will just say that is, we're still finalizing, because we're going to do it hybrid. We're still finalizing the venue.
I'm really impressed that you picked hybrid. I think that's a challenge beyond what I have tried. That's very nice.
Well, it should be interesting. We're going to aim for it, because I think trying to showcase how a hybrid meeting could be done was quite a focus that we thought, if we could do it, would be really nice. Because indeed, it's one of the things about sustainability, about the way that we travel to conferences, about the way that we do meetings. And we've been so used to these online meeting situations, but a lot of people are really lacking a lot of the face-to-face communication. So we need to find a way to make it work for both. And so we hope that we can try to show if the restrictions in the Netherlands obviously allow us to at this point, we hope that we can show, you know, a way that you could do a hybrid meeting and get the best of both worlds and reducing the carbon footprint of these, yeah, big international meetings.
Very nice. And then other projects?
Yeah, so one of the other projects we took on was the LEAF tool. So that's the Laboratory Efficiency Assessment Framework tool. So for those that don't really know the LEAF tool, there is a previous episode that Martin, he came on and talked about what it is. So I encourage you to go back and listen to it, of course. But yeah, it's a way that you can do an internal assessment and look at steps and that you can actually make to make your research and your labs more sustainable. We wanted to see how applicable the LEAF tool could be from the UK setting to the Dutch scientific setting, for example, and learn how to use it in the institutes that we have here and in the way things are set up here. And this was the project that the ministry actually picked to fund. So this is the Ministry of Health, Welfare and Sport that funded this in the Netherlands, and they are the ones that are taking care of the Green Deal for healthcare. So we also coupled with a social scientist from Leiden University. He was very interested in finding out the attitudes towards sustainability in science. And I think it's a very important part where the sustainable science community is at the moment to, yeah, how do you actually get people interested in sustainability in science when they're so busy with their research projects and their grants? And what are the attitudes and what are the barriers and the facilitators of trying to get sustainability in science?
That is super nice and super interesting, but also so relevant because it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel here. There are so many things we can just start doing in the labs. So why are we not just doing that? Like, how can we? The barriers are definitely not necessarily lack of knowledge or lack of actions to take, but that some people don't know of these things and some people don't want to do things. And why is that? Like this whole attitude thing.
That was exactly it. We wanted to prove that doing sustainability in the lab was not that difficult because there were already some guidelines, there were already advice on how to do it, there were already resources to show you what works and what doesn't work, and that's exactly what we wanted to do with this project. One of the other projects we're looking at doing this year is to really get into education and to help create components for bachelor's programs and master's programs that we can help the educators to actually put sustainable research topics into their internships, for example.
So if anyone listening are considering maybe it makes sense for my nation, country, whatever, to have a national network, what would you recommend that they do? How do you go about, not that you have a recipe, do all of these 10 steps, but more like, what are your recommendations based on your experience with starting Green Labs Netherlands?
Yeah, well, I think definitely building your community is one of the most important things. And if you get a whiff of somebody that's also involved in sustainable science, even though you might be from a very different kind of science or something like this, just having a talk with them because you don't know who they've met or who they might know or what they would really like to do themselves. So I think in terms of building your own national or regional network, it's just talking about it. It's getting involved with whoever and everyone that you can. And I would really encourage going to a lot of the meetings that are on, such as the Shore Symposium, but other things that are held as well, to just, yes, look at some of the different initiatives coming out of different countries or regions or so. Yeah, so I will totally use this opportunity to promote another initiative that we as Green Labs are now have been a part of, and is that we've come together with a few other members from different national and regional networks to put together a network for Europe, and it's called CELS, so the Sustainable European Laboratories Network. And the whole idea of CELS is to do exactly what we're doing on a national level, on a bigger European scale, to share resources, but also to connect people and to build a space where an individual lab member could maybe come and say, oh, you know, I'm really interested in what you guys are doing. You can sign up on the website so we get some information. And then maybe somebody else from your same country or same region or network also contacts us, and then we can put you in touch together.
In terms of how you're organized, do you have any recommendations there for people who might want to start a national network?
Yeah, I think it's finding also people that are really motivated, because a lot of us are doing this in our spare time as well. We're hopefully going to create some actual jobs there in the future. But I think it's finding people that are motivated, finding people that are like-minded, that are willing to work on these things with you. And you don't have to start huge at all, like random meetings that we've had maybe on a different subject. So just be open to what you hear about and take ideas from other people about how they've set up and how they organize and how they've met others. And yeah, not everybody that wants to join your network will be able to devote all the time there, but you know, you will find the people that really want to build something with you and have the space to build something with you in the time and the dedication and motivation to. And I would say hang on to those people, because that's where it becomes really important.
I think those are all really good pieces of advice that you passed on there. Thanks a lot for that. So you said that you're organized in a very project kind of manner, but how about communication across the core team of Green Labs Netherlands? How do you do that?
Yeah, so we're using Slack, I have to say, it's been very valuable. So, and we also have bi-weekly meetings. The members of the core team, we get together, we discuss things that are relevant for all of Green Labs Netherlands. So whether it's our communication or an upcoming meeting we have, for example, and then we all just update each other, because we're not all involved in every project. I think that's another valuable thing, is if you can get a good, strong team to divide things up between you, because when it comes to wanting to do these big projects, you definitely can't do everything. And then the projects kind of take on their own life. They have their own either weekly meetings and are further divided up with additional volunteers from the scientific community that are involved just in those projects. One thing we really want to do is we're kind of defining the task to make sure that there isn't too big of a workload for one individual person, or if somebody has to suddenly concentrate on writing a grant or writing their thesis or wants to go on holiday or on maternity leave, that the network is kind of, the core members are strong enough, the team's strong enough, that it's easy for us to pick up and make sure that it continues.
I think there are many of these small green task force that sometimes, you know, one person leaves and then it all fizzles out somehow, because somehow that structure isn't always sustainable unless you really know that one can go on paternity leave or maternity leave, one can start writing their thesis, and we will still be all right.
No, that's exactly it. We've tried to really make it a core of how we run things, because we want it to continue and we don't want it to be based too much on one person's shoulders. So I think if we divide tasks, I guess divide and conquer, right? That's how we could try to look at it. So
exactly, yeah. No one can be so important that if they leave, everything's going to fall.
Yeah, be sustainable in how we be sustainable. That's it.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hannah. It was super interesting to hear about Green Labs Netherlands and all the learnings you had in this year, but also all of the accomplishments. You have done so much in less than a year. It's so impressive.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's nice to talk about it and share our experiences, and also just encourage people that, yeah, you don't always have to have ridiculous amounts of time or ridiculous amounts of knowledge, that just doing what you can already makes a huge difference. And I think that that really starts to show with how we've run Green Labs Netherlands.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to get in touch, please feel free to email us at podcast@avasustain.com. That is podcast@avasustain.com. We have also put this email address and other useful links in the notes below this podcast. Till next time.